Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and happy Father's Day out there to all you men as you are listening in today. If you're traveling down the highway, we are thankful that you've turned us on to 104.9 FM on KBOE right here today. I pray that this is a time of inspiration and also too maybe a time of reflection of what it truly means, as we're going to talk to in a deeper subject about fatherhood. But also too, we just want to thank you for listening. Also too, thanks for the folks that are maybe on their way to church and they've tuned us in. And also too, those of you who are staying at home today, I just pray that this radio broadcast today is just something that creates an encouragement to you. Before we get started in the teaching this morning, I do want to talk to you about a couple of things, just to remind you that we do send out devotional 6 days a week for both men and women. You can actually get that through vitalministries.org and also get that on Vital Ministries On Demand right on your phone, so you can receive it every day. So as you go about your day and the busyness of it, it's a time of inspiration and a word of encouragement. So I just encourage you to be a part of that offering as of our ministry. Also, too, Vital Ministries is offering a new event this coming July 14th. Now, this is important. I want to say that again. Vital Ministries is offering a new event this coming July 14th at Debbie's Celebration Barn right here in Oskaloosa. We will have a Vital gathering from 5 to 7 p.m. at night, a night of community and fellowship. We'll enjoy a meal together starting at 5 o'clock, a time of music and teaching that is relevant to today's topics, and will allow each person, wherever you are in life, to come together to understand what is truly faith in Christ. What an opportunity. You don't want to miss this event, a family night of community at Debbie's Celebration Barn on July 14th. So I just encourage you to participate in that portion of it. But today we're going to take a break from our teaching series on what's your poison, the addictions that we have to deal with in life. But today we're going to look at what it means to be what's a father. And today we will celebrate Father's Day, and I like to quote Billy Graham, just does a beautiful job, and he says this about fatherhood. He says, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet the most valuable asset in our society." See, folks, being a man in America is being, I believe, losing space, losing ground, because we lost its true identity about what it means to be a true man of God, or truly be a man within America itself. And it's attested, I think, men are more and more being feminized and, again, dressing or acting out more like a woman as opposed to being what a real man is. Now, before you go and turn your radio channel off this morning, I hope you will hear what I'm saying. That is not imposing on my own things of my own mind and my own things that's inside of me, but I hope you'll hear what I'm saying this morning, that I believe that we have a glimpse of truly what it means to truly look at fatherhood. The world offers a conflicting view of being a man from what it is to truly be a father. Some say being a man requires grit, square-jawed determination, a work of working out a knowledge of weaponry, and by the way, rock-solid abs. Others will say that a man and a father, you've got to be in touch with your feelings, care for the less fortunate, and especially, you need to be sensitive. Some will say it's leadership skills, a good work ethic, physical stature of riches, a sexual prowess. Can all of these truly detect what it truly means to be a man or a father, of what it means to understand manhood itself? You can only say why there's so much conflict in today of what it truly means to be a man of God. And to understand being a man of God will create fatherhood and step you into the destiny that God has called you to be in. I believe to know what is to be true manhood and fatherhood is to understand that we need to look at truly at Jesus' life himself and what it looks like, and what the Bible says. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God and also the Son of Man, but yet he was an example of what it means of what true manhood is all about. He was full of the Holy Spirit and lived a life that was completely dependent on God and how he displayed his life. What that looks like is his life depicted of what real love truly was. To have joy, to have peace within himself. Jesus was patient, gentle, and displayed self-control. Having the Holy Spirit inside you gives you those credibility, those life temperaments that will help you to understand truly what it means to be a man of God and what fatherhood is. What I'm talking about is found in, obviously, in Galatians chapter 5, 20-23. I would like to talk about five ways this morning of what it means to being a man, a father that can give you what true masculinity is and who you are as a man. These five reasons to give what I believe being vital, being a vital man of God that will lead you to the journey, which is called manhood. So let's get started this morning to understanding fatherhood and what truly manhood is. And if you're home this morning, I've got 5 points. You're down the road again. Thank you for listening. But if you want to write these things down, I will try to slow down the best that I can. I get excited about these things, about what it truly means to be a man of God. Number one is this. It is vital to have Christ in your heart and to know He is your Savior. Now, what I like of this portion of Scripture comes out of Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It says this, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind." Guys, being a man of God is loving God first. And hear me on this, more than yourself. You have to be responsible that about your own spiritual life and allow God to direct you. Yes, reading your Bibles is essential. Interacting with God is part of doing and living that out, and also too, portion of how you pray and pray it. That's all important. That's all part of following and allowing God to be first in your life. All too often, though, when I do a funeral, I ask oftentimes if a man has passed, a husband or a father, and I will ask the wife or the children, did this man read his Bible? Did he have places where he underlined it? Did he write in it? Did he journal out maybe even his prayers? Many will say this, he was connected with nature. He served God in his own way. He really wasn't into the Bible or necessarily into religion. And folks, I get that. I understand that. But it's important for us, if we're truly going to leave a legacy as men and truly to understand what manhood and fatherhood is, we've got to get into God's Word. I want to ask you this. Try doing a funeral about a man's legacy and not anything that is written. See, folks, every man is a good old boy when he dies. Isn't that so true? Even when he acted like the devil at times. You might be saying, those are pretty harsh words this morning, Mike. But folks, leaving a legacy of a man is acting like one. Was God first or was he not? That's really the truth in it. And if you really want to live a vital life of truly what it means in true manhood, you have to put Christ in your heart and allow him to be Savior of your life. My dad has been a great example to me this about, is he perfect? No, just be with him for a little amount of time. And like other men, we all have dents in our armor, like all people. But here's what my dad showed me how to love God. He calls Jesus the big boss. My dad has been a contractor for all of his life. And portion of reason why he says those things is because it goes back to his construction era. But see, Jesus is his boss. My dad prays. He always reminds me of what life, when life gets tough, to always take it to Jesus. Take time to pray. Why does he say this? Because life has taught him that. His dependence on life himself, his work, his family, and the very breath inside of his lungs, he knows comes from God. He also talks with me about something that he read in the Bible or a devotional or even something on a radio speaker that he listened to in the past week. My dad's example has splashed onto me. Now, I don't call Jesus the big boss, but I do know that he is the caretaker of my soul. And I also have passed that on to my sons. I have one son in my first marriage. I have 2 stepsons, a son-in-law, and they are all young men. And I pray and I hope that my life and the dependence on Jesus is based and is an example of what true manhood and what being a father is. Now, the second one is this. It is vital to love and servant lead your wife. I love this portion of Scripture out of Ephesians 5:25. It says this. It says, Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. I like that translation and how it puts it. Husbands, go all out. This means with no restriction, holding nothing back. Now, love isn't what I'm talking about, a physical love here. No, it's important that is a good thing, and we understand that. But what I'm talking about is love is a regard and taking care of your wife. You're the provider. You go to work. You provide for her. You hold down a job. You're there every day. Men, this is essential. My wife likes it when she knows that I'm taking care of her and if something would ever happen to me, that I'm trying to provide for her if I would pass in life, then I would have taken care of our home and that I have provided for her financially and even financially for the funeral that's about to take place. Now, this may sound morbid this morning, but men, if Jesus doesn't come in my life, I will go the way of the earth, just like all men. And this is so true. When we pass, men, we will go the way of the earth like other men unless Jesus returns. Recently, I did a funeral for a man who had lost his wife, and he was a great example of what it means to have what I call live the vow in marriage. His vow stayed until death of his wife. He shared with me one day that when his wife, he called me up and he let me know, hey, say, Mike, hospice is coming to take my wife. And she will finish her final moments there. And this is what he shared with me. He wanted me to make sure that he understood so I could give you this story. He says, Mike, I wanted to make sure that my wife was ready to meet Jesus all the way to the end. And he shared with me that she had finally lost words. She could no longer speak. She was now laying in the bed, and only thing, only sense that was less was her hearing. And he said, Mike, I knelt down and put my cheek to her cheek, and I asked her if she was ready to meet Jesus. He said that he walked away with an inner peace, knowing that his wife was ready. What an example of until death, a vow that was promised to love his wife to the end. I watched this man at the very end of when they closed the casket. He asked the funeral director, he says, I want to be there to the end. I want to be there when you close the door for the last time. I stood back and watched this man. Matter of fact, I watched as the funeral director took the coffin, that lid that actually moves down and locks down into and covers the body. I watched him lean as the casket went down. He wanted to be there for the last moment, the last time of viewing his wife. And I thought to myself, what a picture of manhood and fatherhood. What it means to be a loving husband. Folks, this man was loving his wife like Jesus loved the church, and he gave his life up for her. What a depiction of what it means to be true fatherhood. And men, I pray out there this morning, if you listen to me, it's important to be a caretaker of your wife, not only physically, but also watch over her spiritually. Are you leading her? And we'll talk about more of those things as we look at children and also going to church. But men, how are you leading your wife? Is it truly an example of what manhood and what fatherhood is about? Because folks, fatherhood isn't a day. Fatherhood is a lifetime of a legacy spent. And I hope that you hear my words this morning. Number three is this. It's vital to love your children and to be an example. 1 Timothy 3:4 puts it this way. He must manage his own family as well as having children who respect and obey them. Men, your children will show respect and obey you when you lead them. This past week, it was the first time what I call our Sarig tribe, we had a vacation. We went out to Breckenridge, Colorado, and rented a cabin up in the elevation of 11,000 feet. And I tell you what, talk about thin air compared to living at about a 500-foot elevation here in Iowa. But I tell you what, we had a wonderful time. My kids and my spouse, their spouses were there, my 7 grandkids, 2 Bernese Mountain Dogs, and we had the house. We had a great time together of getting away. It was one of those first things that we'd ever done. And by the way, 3 of those kids that were there, 3 of my grandchildren are under 1.5 years old. It was nonstop commotion, a time that grandkids laughed like crazy, fussed at times, and the little ones spent moments with what I call crying and driving you crazy. But to be honest, folks, at times, this was a little bit hard on me because I'm not used to the crying and to the commotion. And when you get older, that commotion kind of messes with you a little bit. But I wouldn't have changed any moment that happened during that time. I was able to be with my grandson as he turned, my grandson Benaiah turned 1 year old. What an opportunity. I got to watch him eat a portion of a birthday cake, of chocolate cake, and just get it all over him. It was a wonderful time that I was able to watch him do those things. It was just great. I also had a birthday while I was there as well. I turned 59 years old, one more year left in my 50s. It's hard to believe that, folks, but it's so true. Life marches on. But see, the best part of the birthday present was this, is they all went around, including my grandkids, about what I meant to them. Most of the time, I got to be honest to you guys, I fought back the tears, but I made it. See, men, my legacy takes a lifetime, but it only takes a moment to destroy it. See, God has blessed me with my family. They've seen my tough days. They've seen my victories. But most of all, I hope they've experienced my life of love towards them. That my life pursuit was truly to follow Jesus. I've asked my wife as I pass, I want this verse and also too to actually be on my gravestone. It comes from Psalm 42, verse 1. And this is what it says. As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I pray that I live a legacy of my kids. What these verses in the Bibles, are they underlined in my Bible? I've asked my son actually to do my funeral someday. And I've literally been marking it. I've been showing highlights. I've been writing notes alongside different pieces of scripture as it means something to me. What the Holy Spirit spoke. What do you want your kids to say about you, about the love of God and your love for them? This is vital, men, to love your kids well. My dad has asked me to do his funeral as well, and he shared with me a final word about his life and what he wants me to talk about, to share about how he loved God, how he loved his wife, and how he loved his kids. I have to be honest this morning, my dad's been one of the greatest examples to me of how he loved his kids. He's helped us buy our first car, build our first home, and always there when we needed him. What an example that he has been for me and my siblings and also too for my kids. Men, love your kids well. You only get one shot at it and do it with all your heart. When you do that, men, your children will respect you and they will obey you no matter what age they are. Trust me on this. I have experienced it and it has been a part of my life and I pray that it's part of my legacy as I pass on. Point number four is this. It's vital to be involved in Christ's church. Hebrews 10:25 puts it this way. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Men, do you believe that Christ is truly returning? Or is it just a fable you've just heard on and on? This morning, we're not going to go into that subject literally, but I believe that going to church and taking your family to church is important. My family, when I grew up, didn't always go to church when I was growing up. When my parents married, my dad was a Catholic, my mom was a Methodist, and when they got married, my mom was having me, and I was 7 months along the way. Back then, it was literally a major sin and a crime to be in that sort of manner. My dad was excommunicated from the church because my mom wouldn't marry Catholics, and so early in life, we didn't go to church other than going to vacation Bible school once a year in the summertime. My dad, he was bitter towards the church, and in my mind, I have to be truthful about this, that if you did something wrong, you're out. No grace, no nothing. You were just simply out. Many people feel this way. I think that's even listening to this radio broadcast this morning. That if you mess out, God is out to get you. That's the message. And the church will turn your back on you for whatever mistake you make. You know, that's real truth. That's real things that happen. But I don't believe that all churches are that way. It wasn't until that I was 12 years old that my mom and dad started going back to church. My mom, she found Jesus back when I was 12 years old, and man, did Jesus ever get a hold of her. It took my dad 2 more years to come to find the Lord, and it took for him to overcome an addiction. It took a pastor that showed my dad Christ's love, and also, too, it took a church that would pray for my family and that they would come back and return. The church loved on my family during those days. I realized that the church was full of broken people just like me, that we needed a Savior and that we needed to have a relationship with Jesus Himself. The church offered that, and oftentimes church gets a bad rap. Everyone is a hypocrite, that many people will say. Well, guess what? It's a true statement. But when I seek for a church that is Spirit-filled and speaks the Word of God, the Bible, you have found, folks, the right place to be. I shared earlier about doing a funeral, and my dad, and I was in church, and that he rebuilt and is now at a new location. We looked up on the wall as my dad and I were standing this past week on Wednesday, and we looked up on the wall, and it showed that at the church the different places of mission trips that they went overseas. Folks, my dad has been on mission trips for 39 different times. And he looked up, and I could see the glim in his eye of how it lit him up. The spark came back, and he would tell me, "Yeah, I was at that country, and I was at that country, and this is what we did." What a legacy to talk. But see, that's part of being part of a church. And when you go on those mission trips, it creates community. It creates opportunity for people to come together. And my dad was re-engaging, reliving those memories about being in the church. Point number 5 for this morning, as we draw close, it is this. It is vital to be an example of Christ in your work and in your community. Romans 12:1 puts it this way. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around in life, and place it before God. Men, being a man of God and an example to your family is to live it out wherever you go, not just on Sunday. Hear me on this, men. We have many Sunday Christian men, but we need men who live it out each and every day. It's just not a matter of showing up and I go and I get my star for showing up on Sunday. No, it's going and being that example, not only on Sunday, but living out Monday through Saturday. That's essential. I have friends a friend of mine who owns a lumber yard. He used to own a couple, matter of fact, real close here to the Oskaloosa, but now he lives in Colorado. This man is the most servant-hearted, loves people more than any man that I've ever met in my life. He doesn't just talk about it, folks. He lives it. He's given to people who didn't have it. He's humbled himself to people who couldn't pay, and he worked it out with them instead of taking them to court. He's the first to buy the coffee and the first to pay the bill when you go out for lunch. He lives out this verse. This man is a friend and he loves Jesus and he's been an example in my own life. He loves his kids as they live all over the United States and he stays in touch. See, folks, being a man of God just isn't, again, just being on Sunday. It's even more so living it out and being an example the other 6 days of the week. And if you please hear me on this. It's essential to live. See, men, fatherhood, again, is a legacy. It's day by day. It's living it out 7 days a week, 52 weeks in a year, 12 months every day. You stay in the grind. You stay in the hunt. You stay continually about understanding what truly fatherhood is and knowing through fatherhood you can be a good father if you know who you are, being a man in Christ. Outside of that, there's a lot of good men, and I've met a lot of good men who don't know Jesus, and they truly live out there. They're kind. They show the depiction of really what the fruits of the Spirit show. But really, the true legacy is it can't just hold there. It's also living it out and allowing the obedience of Jesus Christ to be Savior of your life. Maybe today you're out there listening. You've heard everything that I've said about truly what it means to be a manhood and what it means to be father. And you've never truly asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. Man, I think what greater day could that be an example of than on Father's Day? To see your wife or to see your family bow a knee, bow your head, and ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. Today, folks, today, men, can be that day for you. And maybe some of you are out there saying, Mike, I've asked Jesus to be Lord, and I want to reconnect with Him. Today could be a day of rededication, a day of coming back to Christ and allowing Him to be Savior of your life. What an example of what fatherhood and what it means to live out a Father's Day, to live out a legacy. Will you join me today? If you haven't prayed that prayer, let's pray that prayer today. Father, Jesus, we thank You for who You are. Lord, I pray right now that I've been a sinner in my life. I have made mistakes. I have done things that I know sinned against You. I ask You to please be my Savior, to forgive me of my sins. And I believe by faith that You are just and able to forgive. Lord, also too, I pray that You would help me to live out my life, that I will serve You, that I recognize that You died on a cross for my sins, that You want me to live out truly a legacy, to be who I am, being a man of God, to really, it's more than Father's Day being a day, that Father's Day is every day. And maybe there's some men out there that just want to pray, Lord, I just pray that You please forgive me. I've made mistakes in my life. I want to rededicate my life to You. I ask You too to forgive me of my sins. I ask You to come back into my life and that I can trust You and who You are. I thank You, Jesus, for being the Savior of my life. In Your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I pray that if you prayed that prayer, that you'll get in touch with us. You can go to vitalministries.org. Leave me a message. Let me know that truly that Jesus has came into your life. If He has, I want to send you a gift. I want to send you a Bible so you can get on that legacy of truly of what manhood and being a father is all about. Man, I hope that today that you enjoy Father's Day, a day of recognizing of men and who they are, men of God. Not men that are going out and doing their own thing, but men who trust in the Lord. That is what Father's Day is all about. I pray that you have a good day in it and you enjoy it with your wife and your family. I want to thank you again for listening to vitalministries.org this morning. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.